There are probably 101 reasons why we're not always good at listening. Sometimes it's the material, isn't it? It's too strange to our ears and we give up. Or it's too familiar to our ears and we think we don't need to listen. And you might imagine that Christmas might fall into that category. But recent research showed that 1 out of 5 adults were not confident of being able to retell the Christmas story. And sometimes it's just us. I mean, the best quip I got sent this Christmas is painfully close to home. My wife just stopped and said, "You weren't even listening, were you?" I thought, that's a pretty weird way to start a conversation. Now, apologies if you discover that that is the only line your wife has picked up from this evening. She obviously wasn't listening to any of the important bits. So let's do an alternative. Come back to school. I mean, here we are. We're in school. It's the French lesson. The French teacher is doing her best to explain some obscure bit of French grammar. I am enjoying talking to my friend at the desk next to me. And then she spots us and shames us. You know, we're made to sort of stand up behind our desks while she calls us out. I could handle that. But then she starts pointing her finger. She points it at my friend, first of all, and she says, "It may be okay for you." And then the finger, like a sort of laser, hits my chest. "It may be okay for you, but he needs to pay attention." There is 50 years of hurt lingering in the retelling of that incident. Now look, when it comes to Christmas, our writer here is fingering us. He's saying, listen up, you need to pay attention. Christmas time is full of slogans, and every advertising campaign has one. But here's the slogan worth listening to. It won't tell you the Christmas story, but it'll tell you what Christmas means. See how it begins? Here is a trustworthy saying. This is no fairy tale. This is more than just sentiment and tradition. This checks out. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, you can take this as gospel in every sense of that word. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, I don't know what you do with a line like that, but here's something to start chewing on as you think about it. I was in Nigeria a little while back. I was visiting friends who had both seen and suffered from the violence that's ravaged part of that country. And as I was with them for a few days, 2 or 3 times they just threw out this phrase, "Love has legs, Hugh. Love has legs." I said, "What do you mean by that?" And they said, "Well, look, when there's love and something's happened, people don't just make a phone call or send an email or post a Facebook message. If they can, they come to help. Love has legs." And it set me thinking, of course, that if this one-liner is Christmas, well, then at Christmas, God's love had legs. He didn't just send messages, instructions, stone tablets. Christ Jesus came into the world. Once in Royal David's City, as we've sung, it's one of the great journeys of all time. They tell me that some people choose their travel destinations to suit Instagram photos. Well, you'd never choose this one on that basis. Christ Jesus came into the world, and when God's King, God's love has legs King comes, he comes to the poor end of the world. I mean, no NHS, never mind private healthcare, not in a manger. And Instagram photos aren't the most vital things when you're a refugee fleeing persecution. And those little baby legs will one day walk him to the cross and be nailed to it. Love has legs, and he comes into the world without a safety net, without a backstop. And that brings me to another point. You see, if this one-liner's got it, then Christmas is Christ Jesus came for the bad, not the good. See how the one-liner goes? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I mean, that's the shock, isn't it? Christmas is the opposite of everything we say about Santa Claus, with his lists of the naughty and the nice, and, you know, parents struggling for discipline and you better be good or you won't get your present. Christmas is for sinners. Christmas is for those who are not good. Christmas is for the bad. Now, when it comes to a word like sin, I know we do our best to trivialise it these days, you know, make it sexy, cool, naughty but nice. Slimming world. Slimming world will give you a diet with free foods you can happily eat, I imagine, because they're tasteless. The things we want to eat, which of course have all the wrong calorific values, are labelled as sins. With a Y, not an I, but the comparison is obvious, and you're only allowed a certain number of sins a day. We won't investigate any further. But treat sin as something frivolous like that, and it's hard to square it with a sentence like this one, isn't it? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That speaks as if it was something so serious, it took all of Christmas and all of Easter, we might add, to sort it. A curse that needs to be lifted, a judgment that needs to be taken. It shocks at one level, and yet at another, we know that the world is broken at so many levels. We've experienced enough of life to know that sin has consequences. This last week was the 30th anniversary of the greatest act of terrorism on British soil. Well, in the end, it fell down onto British soil. It was the Pan Am Flight 103 that got blown up over Lockerbie. At the time, we were living in the East End of London. And I can still remember a young American woman with a child, Christmas Eve, walking round the square where we live, round and round and round with a friend, asking those sort of agonising, awful why questions. She'd been widowed because of that explosion. As a sin had happened over Scotland, the consequences were lived out in the East End of London. But it's true for any level sin. You know, Christmas isn't just for those who've done wrong, but it's a wrong they can't put right. We need saving. Think of the time, the money, the energy you already have and you will put into having the perfect Christmas this year. And if you can ever just stop and think back and previous years or anything to go by, you'll know we won't pull it off. And when it's spoiled, nothing we can do will make it perfect again. Or we live in a world where we seem to be able to create ourselves to be whoever we want to be. We just can't live it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the apostle who wrote this experienced it. It all gets personal as he goes on. Do you see what comes next? To save sinners of whom I'm the worst, he writes. Literally, of whom I'm the first. Not in time, of course. This is more like those lists we get so fond of. You know, the Sunday Times rich list, the FBI most wanted list. Only this is a sort of sin list. The 100 greatest sinners, number one, Paul. I'm the worst. But he writes it to tell me, here is a sure hope for the worst of sinners. And by the way, that means it's a sure hope for the best of sinners too. Christmas is for the bad. It's not God getting picky. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's another way of saying to save everyone. That's why the news of Christmas was first given to shepherds, notoriously dodgy characters. There's something wonderfully exciting about Christmas, but only if I can see myself as God sees me. The good find it harder than the bad. The good play at Christmas very seriously at times. They enjoy all the traditions and miss the point. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you don't think you qualify as a sinner, skip Christmas. It's not for you. Jesus came for the bad, not for the good. Love has legs. Christmas is for the bad. Here's one more thing to chew on. It is good news. It is good news. It may seem obvious, but it's very hard for some to grasp. It was actually a group of Bible college students who were asked to draw a picture of their relationship with God. And one of them, when he came to me, said, "Look, I can't draw, but I've seen a picture in a magazine advertising Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol, and it sums it up perfectly." And the picture he'd seen, the illustration was of a huge Scrooge leaning over his desk, pointing his finger, glaring, ugly, ready to pounce. And those not in that picture, on the illustration, standing in front of the desk was a diminutive Bob Cratchit. And pointing to the figure of Bob Cratchit, he said, "That's me." And pointing to the Scrooge figure, he said, "That's God." And if that's how we're thinking, then God is about the last place to look for hope. And so many do think like that. So many have got some mental image of God along these lines. But we've not faced this one-liner. And nor had the Bible college student. See, do it now. Put the Scrooge picture alongside this one-liner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. They don't fit together, do they? The Scrooge picture of the God out to get us is so strong in our minds, but it doesn't stand up when you look at the gospel evidence. That wasn't the Jesus the woman caught in adultery faced. Go. Sin no more. Or the paralyzed man lowered through the roof heard, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Or that murderous thief nailed to the cross next to Jesus, "Truly, today, with me, in paradise." Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Good news. Do you remember Apollo 13, that American spacecraft? It's way back. Neil Armstrong had landed on the moon, so had others. Space flights were fairly regular, and they began to feel routine until an explosion on this one led to the famous "Houston, we have a problem" message. Some of you will remember it from the film with Tom Hanks in. If you're getting ancient like me, you can remember it live. And I can remember in my mum's kitchen, and she had the radio on, and we were listening, waiting to hear if they'd successfully managed to rescue the spacecraft and the crew. It felt as if the whole world was watching and holding its breath, and all eyes were looking up, focused on the danger in space. And some people seem to think of Christmas as a bit like that. God's kind of last throw. He's not getting through. He's not communicating very clearly. All those commandments in Old Testament history, and they've still not pulled it off. Heaven, we have a problem. And then you look at this one-liner. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you realize Christmas isn't God's last hope. It's ours. Christmas isn't all of us looking up at danger in the heaven. It's God looking down and acting on danger in the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Look, if you've come to church tonight and you think you're among good people, I'm sorry to disappoint you. You couldn't be more wrong. The reason we celebrate Christmas is not because it's a reward for good people, but because it's good news for bad people. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the worst. And you know what the next line is? It's not down there on the service sheet, but you know where he goes from there? "Of whom I'm the worst, but I was shown mercy." That's what makes us Christian people. That's what makes us Christmas people. We found the God who would show us mercy.
The Apostle Paul needed him.
The director of All Souls Langham Place needs him. You need the God of mercy. Without him, you've missed the whole point of Christmas. With him, you've got the greatest present God has to give you. Enjoy him. If that's the greatest present, this last one, I think, is the greatest of carols. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Echo the angels, celebrate God's gift of mercy. There's a sort of thunderous brass introduction, and then let it rip.